getting some practical advice how to live a better life. And how many of you think there's still room for improvement? I think so too. But what the book of Proverbs does, what no other book in the world has, there's not any philosophical book ever written by man that cannot even come close to the book of Proverbs. Because it shows us two viewpoints. It shows us the human viewpoint, which is philosophy. And then it shows us the heavenly viewpoint, which is not philosophy. That goes far beyond that. So it's horizontal. That means down here on earth, we're looking around. We look what the neighbor does, and then if it looks good, we do it too. We never ask if this is actually what the Lord wants us to do, but since the neighbor does it, and it's coming out all right, let's do it as well. No, we have a heavenly perspective, a divine perspective, and the book of Proverbs gives us that divine perspective, which then automatically makes human opinions less important. How many of you are happy about that? So we are not going after life every day by having heard opinions from other people. We first stick our nose into the book of Proverbs and say, I think God has something to say about the situation I'm in right now. Let's see what he says. So, in other words, we're going to learn to apply God's principle. Horizontal solutions give us the illusion of greater security. So we ignore the vertical viewpoint. Let me say it again. When you have figured out horizontal solutions to your problems, it gives us an illusion. You know what an illusion is, correct? It gives us an illusion of greater security because we have now input. So we can ignore the vertical viewpoint, which is the heavenly viewpoint. These are the basic principles by which we should live. Vertical solutions. And I tell you why I'm going there. You probably have figured out over the years that I don't preach just because I need to have another sermon for you. There's always a vertical purpose behind it. Let me lay it out for you. We are right now at the cusp of major, major changes in the entire world, not just in America. In the best scenario, we are a few weeks away. In the worst scenario, we are a few weeks away, but not prepared. I'm not talking about physical preparations. I'm talking about spiritual preparation. I've said it many, many times, and I said the day will come when we are trying to catch up because we have neglected the divine input and have listened to the world and been driven by worldly opinions. When I tell you the times that are coming now, worldly opinions need to be put away, and divine opinions should guide us. Because it's going to give us a peace that most people in the world never experienced, not even Christians. See, we can say it. We can say, oh, I got a peace about it, until something hits you totally unexpected. And how many of you believe you're absolutely prepared for anything? I don't want to scare you, but it is, in my opinion, misappropriate authority from a pastor if he doesn't warn his flock. When we see a wolf coming, we better warn the flock that the wolf is circling the sheep and will probably start nibbling on those on the outside who are the easiest to be snapped. I don't know if you at night every so often up when the coyotes are active. We're living in Coyote City, correct? You know that? You should come over to my place. 3:10, two nights. 3 o'clock, 10 minutes after. I know, I looked at the clock. My wife was so nice. She had the horizontal attitude. She opened the windows. Then we have two dogs sleeping in our bedroom. Not in the bed. I'm going to make sure. In the bedroom. You will never be coming close to my bed before my German Shepherd meets you. But the problem with that is, when he hears a coyote, or by the dozens they go, he is ready to jump through the window. And it's on the second floor. Not a good landing. So my wife jumps out of bed, but she doesn't close the window. She wants the dogs to go downstairs to keep on going crazy. And I can't sleep. So that's the only horizontal viewpoint she has when it comes to coyotes. Otherwise, she's always vertical. But there is a spiritual picture there. When you have an enemy making its arrival well known by the noise, don't you think it would be good maybe if you have little dogs on and out, maybe to take them inside before they become dinner? Don't you think it would be good if you have animals that cannot defend themselves, maybe to put them in the barn if you can? Why do we not acting that way when it comes to spiritual dangers? It's right around the corner. Don't believe any, listen, don't believe any horizontal answers you get in the world today. It's all tainted. Believe everything the Word of God is telling you. You will not be able to escape. Let me say it again. You will not be able to escape. God wants us to go through it. No escape mechanism here. There's not a safe place on this planet. God is doing something. And you and I should rejoice. Oh, Pastor, I don't like to go through these things. Oh, yes, you will. You love it. When you know that in the midst of a place where you can't help yourselves but have to live according to the vertical viewpoint. How many of you would like to see a miracle happen in your life? You can't or don't need a miracle. You can't have it if you don't need one. And you only need one when you know that you don't have the power to do it yourselves. That's when you need him. So let me give you an introduction. Proverbs chapter 1. We read the first 7 verses together. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Listen very carefully. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, in justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and the riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instructions. The summary of us is found in verse 7. But the fear is not trembling or being fearful of that which you may have to face. It literally means a proper respect for that which God gives us. It's lacking in America. It's that reverential submission, as we were talking last Sunday. It's when we are submitting to the Lord in reverence to him, not because we understood it, but we trust him. The Apostle Paul, if you go with me quickly to Ephesians 5, and obviously Melinda says, he didn't write that down for me. It's okay, Melinda, you can rest. Go with me and open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. And we begin reading in verse 15. Because Paul, well educated in all the laws of God, summarizes the entire book of Proverbs in a few verses. He said to the Ephesian church, look carefully then how you walk. Don't just look nonchalantly, carefully. How you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. In other words, with wisdom. Making the best use of the time. I could stop right there and insert a mini sermon. I spare it. But I want to highlight something. Ask yourselves, what good a steward I am with the time God has given me. You don't have to answer. Just ask yourself. What am I doing Sunday morning? Praise God, you're here. But the millions in America call themselves Christians. They don't go to church. I don't need it. That's a foolish decision, not a wise decision. Make the best use of the time. Why? Want to read it out loud for me? Because the days are evil. Question. Do you think we live in evil times? What are we doing with the time? Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Our focus when evil days are upon us is not to look for worldly solutions. Listen. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We need to search for ourselves personally. What is the will of the Lord for my life at this day? When you get up in the morning, you ask yourselves, Lord, is there anything more important than getting together with my brothers and sisters and worship you and celebrate and get encouragement, sometimes correction? Is there anything more important? And if you say, that's not that important, I don't think you make the best use of the time. Nor do I believe that you understand the will of the Lord. If you follow Jesus' ministry when he was for 3.5 years walking this earth as a minister until he died, it says over and over that Jesus went to the synagogue. That's the house of the Lord, for the local house of the Lord. The temple was in Jerusalem. Every town had a synagogue. That would be like this, a place where God's people got together and the Torah was open, was read, and then explained. Localized. And then it says, as it was common for Jesus. Where else would you find him on the Sabbath? In the synagogue. Where else would you find solid Christians on Sunday? In the church, wouldn't you? Unless, obviously, you're sick, you can't walk, you can talk, with all these kind of goodies that can happen. But otherwise, you belong into the house of God. Just a challenge. They're going to come to the house of God. But for the wrong purpose. When the storm hits, I need shelter. But it's not because of the fear of the Lord. It's because of the fear of circumstances. In October of 1978, Malcolm Muddridge did a lecture at the University of Waterloo. That's in Ontario, Canada. He recorded it and summarized it in a little tiny booklet called the end of Christendom. The title kind of intrigued me when I saw it. Mark Hitch has some other phenomenal things to say. By the way, for those who have never heard his name, he's a man who was an atheist and an atheist and an atheist. Everything was horizontal. Until God got a hold of him. He was kind of in the trajectory of C.S. Lewis. Atheist, 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 and then eventually come to Jesus. He was like in the footsteps of Pascal. Atheist, 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 and at the end coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then sharing some experiences which they had. This is what he said in that little booklet. While Christendom derived its origin from the adoption of the Roman state of Christianity as the formal religion of the empire by the emperor Constantine and has sourced its authority, influence, and prestige from the state patronage in the diverse countries. In other words, the state fueled, financed, and equipped the church to do their biddings. Happens to any empire where the church is being used by the government. This is what he says. Jesus stayed far from the palaces of the powerful or the courts of royalty or the citadels of the intellectual elite, but turned the first century world upside down through the faith and proselytizing zeal for ordinary men and women with no earthly acclaim or appeal. He declared pointedly that his kingdom was not of this world. And I'm mentioning that because while we have had many godly people helping found and sustain this country for many years, we had Judas's right from beginning at the table. And we still have them. And my challenge to all of you this morning is a simple one. Don't you ever believe that our federal government is going to bail you out of the problem which we're going to have coming. You better get to know the Lord. Well, Pastor, I got a phenomenal security. I have my pensions. I have my social security. And have a lot of other things. I got it all done. That's horizontal thinking. That's not vertical thinking. These are important words which we're going to study. To quote Mark Hitch one more time, the same booklet. I have always had a sort of mania about words. It's the only consistent and abiding passion I have ever had, words. He was a journalist for many, many years. I think the most wonderful sentence ever penned is in the first chapter of St. John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word. How tremendous are its implications? In the beginning was the Word. It had to be the Word. It couldn't be, for instance, in the beginning was the videotape. Or in the beginning, celluloid. Or in the beginning was a microphone. Listen, this man was known for a sharp, sharp pen, going far beyond what the average person picks up. He brings out, without most people recognizing, there is a horizontal and there's a vertical way of communicating. He said, God said, in the beginning was the Word, and we know the Word is Jesus. That's how God communicates. But the world communicates entirely different. In the beginning, that means in the beginning was something else. And he simply puts satirically in there, oh, videotape. At that time, that was the thing to watch, to waste your time on. Redeem the time. Or there was celluloid. Or there was the beginning of computer age. That's where we put our focus, correct? Or microphone. Oh, entertainment. We need microphones if we entertain. He said, this is not where we should spend our time. Go back to the first sentence in the book of John, he says. Words are important, what we do. He said, in the beginning was the Word. And one of the things that appalls me and saddens me about the world today is the condition of words. Words can be polluted even more dramatically and drastically than rivers and land and sea. There has been a terrible destruction of words in our time. The truth is that we lose the meaning of words. How many of you know? We have been lied to so many times. We don't even know if we're coming or going. How many of you would agree with me? It is extremely difficult today to listen to a podcast or listen to a TV program or to the news media. Anywhere, to be able to discern what is truth and what is not truth. And when we don't have that wisdom that comes to the Word of God, we will be 90%, if not more, going down the wrong path. We take it, and we think it's right until we find out it's a disaster. He goes on to say, there has been a terrible destruction of words in our time. The truth is that we lose the meaning of words. It is far more serious in practice than losing our wealth or power. In other words, words that are only based upon horizontal worldview are words that have destructive power. Words that have the vertical worldview that come from the Word of God, they have uplifting and strengthening power in our lives. Question is, which one do we want to concentrate on? He has more to say, but I'm not going to bother you with it. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 2. Would you go with me back to Proverbs chapter 2? There are a lot of jewels to be mined from. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom, you can stop right there. Making your ear attentive to what? To wisdom. That means I have to close my ears to garbage. That's a decision which you have to make. I remember when we went to COVID and, you know, nothing really worked in this world. Everything was kind of chaotic. How many of you got a lot more back on the computer or the cell phone to get information? Come on. You hardly could buy anything. You had to go on Amazon, correct? After COVID was over, how many felt it is pretty tough to nip that bad habit? I'm so deeply into it. During COVID, I was 5 hours on it. Now I do 4 hours and 59 minutes. That's how tough it is to get off. It's addictive. Well, it's designed to be that way. I know we all use emojis. When I heard that word the first time, I thought it was Swiss chocolate, a new invention of something. I had no idea what it was. And then somebody said, no. These are pictures, and you know, things like this are pictures. Oh, that's even worse. Now we can't write anymore. We can't read anymore. We don't understand words. Now we just send pictures to one another, correct? But then I remembered, that's what my mommy and daddy did when we were 2 years old. They showed us how to communicate through pictures. What do you think we do today? We're destroying the language. See? No wonder most people say to me, Pastor, half the stuff you're preaching, especially if you read from somebody else something, I don't get it. Why do you think I'm reading something that's not in the Bible, written by someone else? See, if I just let go, you're not making any progress. Correct? So I'm going to read another excerpt for you. And another one, until you get it. Well, it's complicated. It's English, for heaven's sake. What if I should actually do that. My wife should remind me. Next Sunday, I preach out of the German Bible. How about that? You guys better brush up on German. Or we may be not reading it and I preach it to you in Swiss. That's even worse. I gave Bob a hard time this morning. You know, he grew up, you were born in Germany or grew up in Germany? Born, okay. Be careful, he's a German. So he said to me, Pastor, I like your bread. You know, Brötchen. I said, Brötchen, what's that? Well, he tried to tell me in the German language, he likes a special bread. But the Germans call it Brötchen. And he can't say, so he made up a new word, correct? So he is actually guilty of playing with words. No. You see what I mean? We are going to have to be challenged to go after words, which we don't get. By the way, that's the only way that you should use a cell phone or a computer, to look up different words, what it means. Would be good, wouldn't it? We don't have to be scholars. We just want to understand it. Have you ever found a word in the Bible you go, I have no idea what that means? And it wasn't even in Greek or Hebrew. It was plain English. And if you really want to get frustrated, get the old King James version. The real old, you know, the authorized version. I always said, who in the world authorized that thing? A wicked King James. So in Proverbs chapter 2, we read, treasure up my commandment with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. You see that these two steps? So I have on the outline, by the way, up here, the New Living Translation for those who have trouble with the ESV. It says it a little bit nicer. You want me to read it out of the New Living Translation? I have it here. If you go to verse 3, cry out for insight and ask for understanding. See, cry out for insight and ask for understanding. When was it last that you did that? In other words, you're really going after it. You know? I have to tell you, when I prepare a message, that at least 5, if not 10 words I come across in the English language, which I have to go and look up the deeper meaning. Where did that word come from? Why is it a double word connected together with a different meaning? Or is it just an onion? You know, the more you peel, the more it's underneath. I don't know. But I probably spend an hour a week before I put it in here. What is that word actually telling us? And you say, well, I don't have that time. I'm not arguing about your time. I just challenge you to use your time wisely. Wisely. Look what it says. When you do that, when you search for them as you would for silver, seek them like hidden treasures. So if all our system in the banking industry would fall apart and you would have some silver put aside, let's say, it's mentioned in here, that's what I said. So, and you bought that 25 years ago and you're still living at the same property and you buried it. But since you're a little bit more senile with 50 plus, you can't remember under which tree you buried that thing. What would you do? Get a metal detector. That's exactly what I was expecting from you to say. What if I have a heart detector? And I could scan over you and find out if there is... Where is the treasure? And it never beeps. Well, Pastor, it's not functioning. That's right. It should be. There's something in there. See, we forget that we have to seek for wisdom. Wisdom is not a gift given to you. Wisdom is something where I pursue the knowledge of God, and then I get the understanding how to use that knowledge of God, correct? And when I apply it after I got the understanding, I have now wisdom. Let me give you the steps. First, you pursue it and search. What it means, correct? So I get the knowledge. You can get the knowledge and have no understanding. Now you go a step further. Now you want to understand, what does that knowledge do to me? Okay? First knowledge, then understanding, then application. And once I apply it, I have now wisdom because I have now the experience if that knowledge, which I got, my understanding of it is correct, okay, you can prove it to the application. If your interpretation of that knowledge is wrong, you also find out that to the experience that it's wrong, but the problem is now the arrogance of man. We will never admit it. We got the knowledge, we got the understanding, we go and apply it, and it's a total failure because it was horizontal. And we would never admit it, and when we don't admit it, we will not change. Pretty simple. The book of Proverbs tells us that we have to go after that knowledge. And then it says, then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord. And you will gain knowledge from where? From God. From God. For the Lord grants wisdom. How does he do it? Application. This is one thing Christians need to learn. God is never nervous when you come and you say, okay, God, I got the knowledge. You gave me the knowledge. I think I got the right understanding. Don't get upset if I find out that what you said is not true. He just laughs at you. The link between a successful and an unsuccessful application is your interpretation of the knowledge. Don't make conclusions fast. My wife and I, actually, on the way here this morning, I can tell that we have no secrets, correct? So we're talking with people who have a weird idea, whatever the idea is. How many have ever met people with weird ideas? Okay. That they fill the planet, believe me. So they have weird ideas, and so Sophie and I were talking about it. And I said, how would you answer if somebody comes to you with the weirdest idea, especially when it's theological, you know, from the Bible, but they're way out there, okay? And she said, okay, well, I will do this. And I said, I just want to give you a better idea. When somebody comes with a weirdo idea, because they want to be important, that's normally the reason why they come up with a weird idea. And you're an apologist now, correct? And you want to prove to them that your knowledge is superior to theirs. Both are fools. Now you entered the arena of foolish talk. The first question you should always ask, and I practiced that for a long time. The first question you always ask, what impact does that idea have when it comes to your salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ? If it has no impact, it's just foolish talk. Maybe true, but it has no impact. See, if I would be the devil, I would do exactly what these people with these crazy ideas do. Exactly. Get your mind off of that which is super important to advance the kingdom and get into discussions that have absolutely no power to get the kingdom of God moving in the right direction. Because there is no neutral ground. If you do not help advance the kingdom of God, by the way, by sharing the gospel, that's how you advance the kingdom and bring other people closer to the Lord. If that is not your goal, you have not just gone neutral. Whoever is not for me is against me. That's much worse. We may have knowledge. You may even be right from a horizontal aspect. Vertically, it's total worthless. And I ask you, do you think we might be in difficult times? Some of you in here believing that we're in the end times, and you're right, since Jesus left, we're in the end times. Okay, just don't start putting dates on, okay? And for those of you who just think the rapture is going to get you out of here, that might be, that might not be. Okay? Because the rapture, there's a big, oh man, people, they're losing hairs over these things. Okay? And let me tell you something. I don't lose a single hair over the rapture. When it happens, I go. When it doesn't happen in my lifetime, I don't go. I go the other way. It's that simple. Until God stops my heart, I will preach the gospel. That's my job. That's your job. Could you imagine how many people will come into the kingdom if we would live according to the new covenant I mentioned this morning, covenant of grace, by the way, and you will do only this when you have conversations with people. Could you imagine how many more people will be today in the kingdom? You shut every podcast, every YouTube video that has nothing to do with advancing the kingdom, shut it down and replace it with gospel preaching. Could you imagine what revivals we would have in America? Will never happen, because gospel preaching doesn't make money. Controversial ideas make money. You monetize everything you have. But here is the kicker. Those people who do these things for money are not servant of the living God. That's my problem. They're not going with the word. They're not going with wisdom. They have a drive in them. More subscribers, more money, because YouTube monetizes all that stuff. And I'm going, Jesus must have been a fool. He never went for money. But he was the richest man ever lived. So where are we going? Where are we going with all this? Look at chapter 2. Verse 7. He grants a treasure of common sense. Did you read that? To the honest. How many of you have had discussion this week with one person or listened to somebody talking? You knew the person lost common sense. They're all over the place. Common sense is a gift given by God for those that are honest, authentic, not double-tongued, not giving you a hug the next 5 minutes on social media to cut you down. That's dishonesty. Those people will never get common sense. Forget about wisdom. It's what the Bible says. It's not my word. It's what the Bible says. The Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. Don't you ever worry about the arrows that are being shot at you. God is your shield. And when you start thinking vertically, and you start having conversation vertically, not horizontally, and you want to advance the kingdom of God, God uses you to do so, you will get arrows shot at you. People will talk bad about you. They have never met you. They have no idea what you stand for. They just heard something. No common sense, no wisdom. Stay away from them. Listen, God gives us this guarantee. He guards the path of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go. What did I say at the beginning? We're heading towards trouble. Not that we already have plenty, we just don't know it yet. We're heading towards trouble. How many of you would like to have protection from God? Thank you. Not all of you. Okay. Don't call me. Can't help you. He guards the path of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. He's not using little angels. He's using the warriors. The mighty ones. They will protect his people. Just to give you an idea, one mighty one killed 200,000 enemies of God just in a half an hour. How about that? You want to have that God? Not even our president has gods like this. We have the guarantee. You say, Pastor, would you just go into all the troubled spots? If he tells you so, you're fine. If he told you not to, you're a fool. Thou shalt not test the Lord your God. Just go where God says. And when this happened, and you know he protected you, he said, then you will understand what is right. Then you will understand it, what is just and what is fair. And you will find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Vertical knowledge will always fill you with joy. I make a public proclamation to you. That's true. My wife knows it. When I go and study the Word and I open the Bible, something happens to me every time. I get so excited. I always do. Can't help it. I'm not saying it has to happen to you. It's the only time I get away with ignoring my wife. Honey, honey, I hear nothing. She said, but I called you 3 times. Didn't you hear it? She now knows, after years of experience, when I focus on the Word, on that study, I literally close my ears. Not physically. I'm so into it. When I come out, she's the first one to get it. You gotta read what I just wrote down. You gotta read it. God showed me something. You gotta read it. Come on, read it, read it. You have to read it. Tell me what you see. Nothing. I said, let me tell you. And then we share. It's so exciting. I will give it up for nothing. It's like a treasure to you. Shouldn't we have the experience like these two guys on the road to Emmaus? What did they say after they heard Jesus speak? The hearts were burning for joy. Believe me, they were going slow home. They were going like deers back to Jerusalem telling the story. That's what happens to you when the Word of God speaks to you. That's what should happen when we get out of the church here. Oh, where's the next meal, man? Oh, by the way, for you, it's waiting over there. But it should be, whew, I'm ready to go into the world. I'm ready to do the vertical stuff. I'm ready to represent God. This is something I want to be a part of. And you invest your time, and God gives you the treasures of wisdom in the process. He guards you, and wisdom will enter your heart. How many of you sign up for it? Oh, I signed up twice. I take yours too if you don't want it. See, this is something which we have to pursue. But then the writer in Proverbs 2 changes. In verse 10, for wisdom will enter your heart, knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you, understanding will keep you safe. Wisdom will save you from evil people. Really? Oh, absolutely. That doesn't mean they don't do the evil deeds. But they never get what they shut the evil deeds for. They never get that. They can be in all kinds of evil things. You don't have to worry about it. They never get what they want. You know what they want? They want to bring you down. If you don't join them, they want to bring you down. Just tell them next time, I'll outlive you. That's all I have to tell them. I will outlive you. That's all I have to tell them. Let the Lord do the rest. Sure, when they have something, you can't normally go and say, I told you so, it's too late for them. But you can guarantee that God will carry you through it. I shouldn't be here. You probably shouldn't be here either. Yep. Ever had somebody shouting at you, wanting to take you down? If you walk according to the book of Proverbs, it's a guaranteed situation. But in verse 13, listen. Those people are the ones who twist what in verse 12? They twist what? Words. They twist words. How important are the words? Very important. They're twisting. Listen what's coming out. These men turn from the right way to walk down dark paths. Why do you want to walk with them down dark paths? They take pleasure in doing wrong. They take pleasure in doing wrong. You know what that tells me? They do it intentionally. It's not an accident. They have a plan. But God has a plan too. And they enjoy the twisted ways of evil. Their actions are crooked and their ways are wrong. Wisdom will save you. Man, listen to this. From the immoral woman, from the seductive words of the promiscuous woman. She has abandoned her husband and ignores the covenant she made before God. Entering her house leads to death. Have you seen all these scandals lately just in the arena of politics? I know it always comes, you know, forefront goes on steroids when we are in election year, correct? Okay, so we understand. It's not that they haven't done it before. Now it's just somebody snoops around and finds out what they have done, and then it comes. But listen, anyone in any leadership position who has sexual misconduct in their lives, they will come down, every one of them. And it doesn't have to be physically running away with somebody else's wife. Pornography is the killer in America. It's the killer. A man, if you ever on it, it will distort the way you think. Anyone who goes to pornography, the woman becomes a subject, not a human being. Just for your own pleasure. It's as evil as it can be. Put yourselves into position and the path that is vertical and not horizontal. Well, everybody else does it. That doesn't make it right. We have no business to go there. And the sad statistics today are women are in it just like men. It is insane. Totally insane. These men, they walk, listen, from the right way and go a dark path. They knew the right way. And don't tell me, man, I couldn't help it. Read Proverbs. Every time you're tempted to go on a pornographic site, open the Bible. I tell you, it kills your appetite in a second. Or maybe start with the second Proverbs. As a matter of fact, it pops up everywhere. You say, well, that's a new phenomenon. Why do you think This book was written 2,000 years ago. Why do you think it's there? It's not a phenomenon. It has always been there. Look at verse 18. Entering your house leads to death. It is the road to the grave. The man who visits her is doomed. He will never reach the path of life. See that? Wow. Follow the steps of good men instead, and stay on the path of the righteous. For only the godly will live in the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. What a promise. But the wicked will be removed from the land, and the treacherous will be uprooted. You see that? Not a good future for the person who goes the wrong way, is it? It's a very good future for those who do the vertical way. That's the solution to our problems. I would like to go to Psalm 111. I've written a lot more down, even things about dinosaurs, but you are not interested in dinosaurs, correct? Are you still there? Okay, I just make sure. Go quickly to Psalm 111. We're going to read the first 10 verses. That's the whole psalm, by the way, just for you. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright. And where? What do you think this is? Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. We study it. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. How many of you like that promise? Yeah. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who, what? Practice it. Not knowing it, not quoting it, practicing it. Have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. We all know that the 20th century man has created his own fantasy, us included. And we used science, which has enabled us to do some incredible things, correct? Made some fantastic achievements. We have made possible the way of moving faster, growing richer, communicating instantaneously around the world. All science has made that. Mastering certain illnesses. We have overcome some incredible hazards. But listen, all the things I just told you are horizontal. All these achievements have led to a growing arrogance, a widening separation from the true nature and our very being. In other words, an alienation from God has negative consequences. If you and I could live without God, your life would not be worth living. Not worth living. So then why should we pursue wisdom? Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 5 this way. You are the salt of the earth. You, I, we are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for what? For anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. I stop right there. When Makrij said, the end of Christendom, he is right. Christendom is organized religion under a governmental power, which we have in America. I told you, most people have not connected the dots. COVID was a test. The government says, shut the churches down, don't you worry about it. We pay for everything. All your salaries are paid. What did the churches do? You had to sign up, by the way. And I said, this is a trap from the enemy. Victory will never take a penny. I don't care if I have to go without salary. Who cares? We don't do it. Because Christendom is done. This is why God takes America down, by the way. America will be taken down. But America still exists. America will be taken down as an empire. We don't need to live in an empire. The Roman Empire came down. The British Empire came down. The Spanish Empire came down. The French Empire came down. They all came down. They're still in existence. But God took them down because all these empires I just mentioned all made Christianity their scapegoat. Christendom. And God says, America does it too, and I warned them for all these years, and all we did since the 60s is flooding the entire world with things that's anti-biblical. And God says, okay, we take it down. Do you know who's going to shine in this period? The true believer. And don't you take any money from the government. There's always a string, maybe 10 strings, attached. If a church cannot survive without government finances, the church should close. It's that simple. No business to be open. It's not a judgment call. It's a biblical mandate. Our provider is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to be the salt. You can't be salt in a world when the world has paid you for the salt. It's horizontal salt. We're looking for vertical salt that preserves the true, genuine, ethical and moral standards which God has set in his book. And there's another one. You are the light of the world. These are Jesus' words. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. This is the house of God. It gives light to all of them. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. In other words, Jesus said, my followers have a profound influence on the society in which they live. You and me. You may have a government job. Be a light. Be salt. Wherever you are, wherever you work, in the society we're living in, only salty Christians preserve ethical and moral standards. These two things, by the way, salt and light, they either preserve or they shine truth into a corrupt, dark world. But they said that, well, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian since I'm born, which is a lie. But they don't know. When we, as Christians, do not participate in a local body of which Jesus is the head, you cannot follow scriptural mandates. You don't do it. There is no such thing as you at home with five people doing your own thing. Let me say it again. There's no such thing. You have no private faith. Just think about it. Oh, we want to go to the first century church. I want to go back. You know, Book of Acts. Yeah, I can teach you the Book of Acts, and you will never going to go back there. But not an easy life. That Book of Acts, that faith, that Christianity was never private. Was always in the public. And some of them died for it, including 11 of the 12 disciples. Yeah. There's no such thing as a private faith. It's a public faith. Well, Pastor, you don't know for whom I'm working. The boss is a crook. Yeah, I think God put you there to maybe shine a little light on it. Correct? That's just the way it is. Salt and light. And if you want to know how it looks like, Book of Proverbs tells you everything. You can learn one thing. Christendom is dead. Christianity is alive and well. We'll never die. Because we are the body of Christ. He already died, but he rose again. Eternal life. So, what are you going to do with it? You have to swim against the flow. That's hard work. You have to swim against the flow. It's the only way to be biblically, to have wisdom and understanding, and the application of it brings us the experience which transforms you day by day. Let me tell you a story as I close up. Very short. 410 AD. A long time ago. It was the year where the Roman Empire got sacked. For good. There were many Christians in the Roman Empire at that time. They didn't have TV to get the information, but they had runners. Eventually, this news that Rome got sacked came to St. Augustine. He was in Carthage at that time. The Roman Empire was in shock. And the Christians did not know what to do except to hang on to Jesus. Augustine said this to everyone, he said, who is in the flock of Jesus Christ. All earthly cities are vulnerable. Man built them and man destroyed them. At the same, there is the city of God which man did not build and cannot destroy, and which is everlasting. Out of that statement, he wrote the book, The City of God. If you're ever interested to read an 800-page book. What he said is, Christendom just died. Christianity is alive and well. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for men who have gone before us, inspired by your Holy Spirit. Men who learned, some the hard way, some by obedience and submission to you, that there is knowledge to be had. But the knowledge comes to opinions of men. And it was not giving them life. Life more abundantly. But then there are those men and women who looked into your book and learned from the wise who wrote Proverbs, who wrote the text which we find in the book. And we can learn how they have learned to trust you and to submit to you and to think not worldly, but to think heavenly. And Lord, these are the men and women we want to follow. Great examples that will always bring us back onto the path you have laid before them and before us. Lord, we thank you that you open our eyes and open our ears that we may see and hear how you want us to go about every day. You go before us, and we want to obediently follow. We want to be people who have not just knowledge and understanding, but wisdom applied to our lives that will bring glory and honor to you. We're being reminded to be good stewards of the time you've given us. You have reminded us this morning that we are not out here on our own, doing our own thing. You have specifically called us people of salt and light. We can help preserve an ethical, a moral society around us. We can shine light on the dubious, on the unauthenticated, the talk that's going on, and we can make a difference. Lord, I pray for everybody in this room and those who listen. Let us be obedient to their call. Let us not tremble when Christendom ends. Always have our eyes on you, the resurrected Christ, who advances his kingdom that can never be shaken, that can never be taken down. And we thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people can say, amen. Let's